Our Father and our God, this morning we give thanks for thy mercy, for thy grace, for bringing us together, Lord God, to join together our faith and worship. Holy Father, may thou now bless this time that our word is declared. Bless both the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. You probably did what I did this morning. You looked into your closet and you debated about what to wear. And finally, you made your choice. And there you are sitting in the church, all dressed up. But hypothetically speaking, imagine those clothes in your closet possessed emotion, intellect, and will, just as we do as humans. And you there stood and you debated what to wear. And finally, you made your selection. For those clothes that remain in your closet after you made your choice, I believe an emotion would arise within those clothes. And that emotion is called rejection. You know, as image bearers of a relational God, God has wired humans for relationship and community. That is why social interaction and connection are called human needs. Every one of us want to be loved and want to love. Every one of us want to be a part of a community. We want to be accepted. But in our fallen world, such expectation is not always the reality. There are times when people just won't love you. There are times when people won't accept you. And this leads to some significant psychological distress. And one of those psychological distress is actually this feeling of rejection. And this is often manifested in low self-esteem, extreme self-doubt, negative talk, social anxiety, and the list goes on. But while some people can easily shake this off and forge new path in their lives, for others, rejection is a struggle. It is a struggle that can drive them off the edge. And the news is replete about reports of crimes committed because a person felt rejected. And not only crime, numerous instances of self-harm, such as suicide, and all other kinds of self-harm activities because of rejection. And sadly, this struggle is not limited to the unbelieving world. It is also present among us that are God's people. God has granted us magnificent and precious promises according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Yet, there are some of us that are struggling with feelings of rejection. There are some Christians who are just super sensitive to words and behaviors of others. They feel nobody in the church actually loves them. They opt from church to church seeking acceptance. And some just stop attending churches because they are convinced that everybody in the church is a hypocrite. You know, such struggle with rejection not only harms the mental health of a believer, but it's also a gateway through which the enemy can destabilize the unity and growth of the body of Christ. That is why I believe it is important for Christians drowning on that feeling of rejection to know how to gain mastery over this struggle. So this morning, using the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4 as a case study, I want to examine this emotional stressor called rejection and also lay out for you the biblical prescription on how to gain mastery over rejection. This is what brings me to Genesis chapter 4. But we have context here. You know, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating from the forbidden tree in Genesis chapter 3, They were subsequently judged and expelled from the Garden of Eden. In chapter 4, a new chapter then began in the life of Adam and Eve. The Bible now records that the man, Adam, had relation with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I've given birth, or I've begotten a man child with the help of the Lord. Now, this is the first recorded reproductive birth in human history, the birth of Cain. And perhaps that is why Eve said, I've given birth, I've begotten a man child. Because before this, Adam, we know, was created uniquely by God from the dust of the earth. And we know that Eve was made out of the rib of Adam. So obviously, this was the first reproductive birth in human history. And then we read here that Eve then gave birth to another son, which she named Abel. And we see that both of them had unique, distinct profession. We're told here that Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, we don't know who led them or how they chose those profession. The Bible does not tell us that, but we know that that was their profession. And then we see, according to verse 3, that in the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, since it was a tiller of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought the firstling of his flock and their fat portions. Now, we don't know again how they knew what to do in terms of bringing offering to the Lord, who instructed them. But I would like to suggest to you that perhaps their parent, Adam and Eve, gave them that understanding of the importance of bringing an offering before the Lord. But however they came to that understanding, we know that they did just that. They brought an offering before the Lord. Then something happened here, that when they presented their offerings before the Lord, the Bible records that God, or the Lord, had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Now, this is the first recorded instance in the entire Bible of rejection. And this came from God. And now, the reason for this rejection has been a subject of debate by theologians. But I truly believe the answer can be found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Because the writer of Hebrews will write in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, said, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, and God testifying about his gift, and through faith, though he's dead, he still speaks. In other words, I believe Abel's sacrifice was offered by faith, meaning that his heart condition was right before God because he trusted in the Lord. By implication, Cain, in bringing his offering before the Lord, the condition of his heart was not right. And I don't subscribe to the fact that, you know, because of the ground was cursed, that's why they rejected Cain's sacrifice. I believe more importantly, it was the condition of his heart, and God rejected Cain's sacrifice. Now, it now comes that how would Cain now respond to this rejection? Now, we read here that Cain became angry and his countenance fell. Verse 5. Now, God, who knew how unhealthy it was to be angry, came to Cain and asked him a couple of questions. Look at verse 6. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and his desire is for you, but you must master it. So we see here God offering to Cain an advice. Cain, this is what you need to do. You got to beware of this anger that you're carrying. So you can see here that out of rejection came the emotion of anger. But Cain was not able to shake off this rejection. Consumed by his anger, he spoke to Abel, his brother, and he actually planned that when Abel came to the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed Abel, his brother. This was the first murder recorded in human history. And again, watch the impetus of this anger. It was because of rejection. And may I remind you, loved ones, that Cain is not alone in this reaction. A lot of people in our world today respond to rejection through intense aggressive behavior, which then leads to all kinds of crime. And there are countless stories of boyfriends who are rejected and their girlfriend becomes a victim. They stalk, and before you know it, it leads to domestic abuse. Then it leads to murder. Look at issues of a scorned wife that decides to take the law into her own hands. And you look at issues of other areas of rejection. Our rejection tends to be a gateway to emotions of anger. And before you know it, it becomes a crime. So here, Cain, unable to shake off his rejection, came into this position that he murdered his brother Abel. But the pointed question this morning is this. You know, what could Cain have done better? What could have been a different reaction or response that Cain should have actually adopted in this situation? Or should I put it differently? How can we, based on this story, gain mastery over rejection? And I believe the answer is really in this narrative. And I want you to see in this narrative four critical things or four critical ways that you and I can gain mastery over rejection. The first is this. You know, for us to gain mastery over rejection, we have to learn to accept the things we cannot change. In this narrative, God made a decision. He accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's. That was final. You know, God had the prerogative to make that decision. He chose Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain. The first thing here Cain should have done was to humbly accept what he could not change. God's decision. And the same is true in every human relationship. You know, people at times will make decisions that might communicate to you rejection. You have to learn to respect their decision. You have to humbly accept whatever decision they make and move on. You have to humbly accept the decision that a panel of persons that interview you, they decide that they're not going to pick you and they pick another candidate. You have to humbly accept the fact that your spouse has the right to make decisions about your relationship. Or the person you're courting have a right to make a decision about that relationship. You have to say, listen, they have the right to do that. You got to accept the things you cannot change. Now, you might be thinking and say, Pastor, listen, it is easier said than done. And you're correct. But here's another question. What other option do you have? Do you want to force them to change their mind? Or you want to hold them hostage? No, that will lead to further violence. You know, that will complicate the issue. Or you might say, listen, I'm just going to beg them so that they can change their mind. Well, you can choose to do that. But you're bound to humiliate yourself. Because a person who's made up their mind, they are determined to do what they want to do, they will do it. So guess what you need to learn to do in being able to get mastery over rejection? You have to learn to accept what you cannot change. Accept the fact that, listen, my father abandoned me. Accept the fact that I'm struggling in this relationship because my husband walked out of me. Accept that fact. You can't move on until you accept the fact that you can change some things. And that acceptance must come through humility, because you got to humbly accept the things you could not change. And Cain did not. And that's where Cain failed. The second way to gain mastery over rejection is that you have to focus on self-care and self-improvement. Again, I want you to go back to this narrative. God will say to Cain here, around the seventh verse, he said, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted? What God was pointing out to Cain here was the need for self-care and self-improvement. In other words, Cain, work on yourself. In other words, Cain, change your attitude. You know, I believe the same is true when it comes to us seeking to gain mastery over rejection. We have to focus on working on ourselves. You know, you can't change other people, right? But you can change yourself. You know, stop the pity party. If you're rejected because of your qualification, see it as a challenge to seek improvement. If you're rejected because the person you're dating just thinks you're not good enough, learn from that experience. Improve yourself. Perhaps it's your attitude. Perhaps you don't put in place proper boundary. Listen. The next time you take care of yourself and you improve yourself, I bet you the next time you come into a courtship relationship, you will have a better idea of how to deal with that situation. Because guess what? You have improved yourself. You have worked on yourself. You have tried to get yourself in order, get yourself together. God was telling Cain, listen, improve yourself. Cain, you can still do it again. You can still bring an offering again, and you can do well. But again, Cain rejected the counsel of God. He did not focus on self-improvement. Rather, he projected his anger on his brother. The third thing here we can also glean from this narrative is this. You know, to gain mastery over rejection, you always have to remind yourself of the big picture. Remind yourself always of the big picture. Again, I want you to follow along with me in verse 7. The Lord will now tell Cain here, listen, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And his desire is for you, but you must master it. Essentially, what God was trying to tell Cain is this. There is something bigger than this rejection. There is something bigger than this anger. You ain't seen the big picture, Cain. That what you're doing is actually open the portal for all kinds of things to come into your life, especially sin. And God was trying here to let Cain look at the big picture. Look at the big picture. And the same is true for you and I. When it comes to rejection, always remind yourself of the big picture. Not only that your continuous struggle with rejection will affect you mentally, but listen, every disappointment in life is actually God working everything out together for good. You remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 8? He said, for we know that God works all things together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And I believe what Paul is trying to teach us there is that, listen, everything in your life as a Christian is not accidental. It's not coincidental. God is using all these things in your life to bring about his perfect will, about his perfect purpose for you. God has a plan for your life. And through your rejection, God might be using that to lead you in the direction that he wants you to go. Listen, you and I often believe we know what is right, don't we? We believe that this is the way we need to go. But at times, God, who knows everything perfectly, who knows everything actual and potential, understand that the path that we're going is not the right path. Understand that the man that you're dating, that you believe is just Prince Charming, is nobody, is so good that nothing can happen. He understands that that is not what is truly that nature, that what you see on the surface is not what is in the heart. And God will try to protect you. And in trying to protect you, situation will happen that you will be rejected in that situation. You'll be rejected. But that rejection is to protect you, not to destroy you. Because someone said, well, God rejects so that we can be protected. And the same is even in your job. You know, you're seeking to go to that job, right? And you go for that interview, right? And you believe you did well on that panel, but then you were rejected. But God might be trying to protect you because 6 months down the road, there might be an active shooter in that same job. And that might be in the office that you want to go to. But God might be protecting you through that rejection. In other words, whatever you face in life, always understand this. When I face rejection, I need to look at the big picture. For you as a Christian, there is a bigger picture than what you're seeing here. Ask God to give you the sight to see the big picture so that you can make decisions that will glorify God, but also that you can have mastery over rejection. The final thing here is this, loved ones. To gain mastery over rejection, you have to be willing to surrender your feelings, your pain, your anger to God. Again, that's the fourth thing here. Because when you go back to this narrative again, God revealed to Cain his struggle and the ultimate consequence that he was facing. And what Cain should have done at that moment that God revealed it to him was to fall on his knees and to say, Lord, I surrender all. Lord, I surrender all. And you see, by surrendering is acknowledging that, listen, this is me, Lord. I'm angry. And I think there is nothing wrong in being able to be honest. There's nothing wrong in being honest. You know, you got to be able to say, Lord, I'm angry here. Lord, I'm bitter here. Lord, I can't get over this pain, Lord. Lord, I'm feeling depressed, Lord. Lord, I'm not feeling in my right state, Lord. But I want to surrender my pain to you. I want to surrender my anger. I want to surrender my bitterness towards my father. I want to surrender my bitterness towards my mother. I want to surrender my bitterness towards my ex-husband. I want to surrender my bitterness towards even that job that treated me. I want to surrender that to you. I want to surrender to you. And I believe that is key to you understand that you got to be willing to surrender your bitterness, your anger to God and be honest. Lord, this is me. This is how I feel now. But Lord, help me. Help me. And guess what? God is always ready to help us. That is why 1 Peter chapter 5 said, casting all your anxiety, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. God wants to help you heal. God wants to help you heal from rejection. God wants to help you feel better. God wants to move in your situation to grant you the peace that in the midst of your rejection, you can still pull up your strap and go forth in life and achieve great things in life. Loved ones, I tender to you this morning. To overcome or to gain mastery over rejection, you have to be willing to surrender it. You have to be really willing to be honest with God and ask God to help me. Unfortunately, again, Cain did not do that. Cain did not surrender his anger to God. And that became his downfall. I pray to God this morning that all of you listening to me will make it your mission that when you feel the pain of rejection, you're committed to God. You surrender to God. and his peace that surpasses all understanding will now keep you in perfect peace. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning, we do honor thee and thank thee for bringing us together in this place that we can listen to the word of our eternal God. Holy Father, may thou now bless the declaration of thy word this morning, that thy people indeed will understand that there is no rejection that God cannot give us healing. And Lord God, we thank you this morning for thy mercy and for thy grace. And it's in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we commit this teaching into thy hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.